Glenn Beck.
It was supposed to be just a routine reconnaissance mission, but four American soldiers have been killed. It happened last week in Niger. Did you even know we had people there? Did you know we had soldiers operating in Niger? I think we are suffering from content inflation, a fire hydrant of so much useless information and juvenile bickering that we actually are missing the stories that are important. The U.S. has 800 troops stationed in Niger to help train Niger's military and help gather intelligence in the fight against al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups in the region. So we had a dozen Green Berets, 20 Niger soldiers. They're on a reconnaissance mission. They were ambushed by terrorists driving a pickup truck mounted with machine guns. The firefight, over in 30 minutes. When it was over, four Green Berets lay dead, two others wounded. Four Niger soldiers also killed. Pentagon is now investigating the incident, but officials believe al-Qaeda was responsible for the attack. The terrorist group operates along the border there between Niger and Mali, where the soldiers were. The U.S. Defense Department attempts to follow what is known as the Golden Hour Standard. I had never heard of this, but it's one of those things that I think makes us really great. Our military tries to rescue a wounded soldier within an hour of being wounded. That obviously didn't happen in Benghazi. One U.S. general said it's not possible to have the Golden Hour Standard in Africa. Now, Benghazi is different because of the Gulf. But in parts of Africa, it is so remote, and especially where these soldiers were. It's landlocked, mostly a desert nation, deserted of any kind of people. It's about twice the size of Texas. And where they were operating was very, very remote. And it leaves the soldiers vulnerable to ambushes. We, by the way, did not pick them up. French helicopters finally arrived. They were 275 miles away. Some soldiers say that in this area, the standard rescue wait time is not an hour. It's closer to 10 hours. Just a note, these are the first American troops to die in the counterterrorism effort in Niger, where the U.S. has been since 2015. Why isn't this story more prominent? Do we care? Do we care where our soldiers even are anymore? Or are we just too busy talking about kneeling during the national anthem, oppressive statues, Melania Trump's footwear, empathy tents? You know, there's a lot more at stake here. People are fighting and dying for our rights, which most of us don't even understand or know the first thing about. And our way of life, they're fighting for that. They're fighting for our way of life, which it seems on some days, at least half the country is trying to destroy themselves. Are we suicide? Are we on a suicide path? Are we just tired of the news? Or are we ignoring it altogether?
It's Thursday, October 12th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Rush Limbaugh came out yesterday with a pretty powerful statement on the NFL and Donald Trump. Here's the first cut.
There's a part of this story that's starting to make me nervous, and it's this. I am very uncomfortable with the President of the United States being able to dictate the behavior and power, or the behavior and of anybody. That's not where this should be coming from. Trump is continually tweeting, and I know what he's doing, and I understand why he's doing it, and his motives are pure, don't misunderstand. But I don't think that it is useful or helpful for any employee anywhere to be forced to do something because the government says they must. That scares the hell out of me. This should come from the league, as it looks like Goodell wants it to. The owners should be demanding this, not the president. The commissioner should be demanding this, not the president. We don't want the president being able to demand anybody that he's unhappy with behave in a way he requires. That's scary to me, even if the president's somebody I happen to like. This is a workplace issue. It's the owners and the league that let this get out of hand because they didn't know how to deal with it or were afraid to.
Here's the second cut.
If this is going to be made to work, the players are going to have to be told who the boss is, and they're going to have to be given specific workplace rules and regulations that they know has nothing to do with the Constitution, the First Amendment, freedom of speech. If you want to work for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you are going to stand for the anthem. If you want to work for the Dallas Cowboys, you're going to stand for the anthem. But I'm really nervous if all that happens because the president makes it happen. He can make it happen by forcing the owners. But this is a slippery slope.
No, it's a cliff. It's a cliff. And we went over that cliff again yesterday with the president and his Twitter comments about NBC. And saying that NBC, we should start looking into their broadcast license. First of all, Mr. President, they don't have one. That's not the way it works. But second of all, people like Rush Limbaugh and me and you should be very, very concerned about a group of people cheering on a president who says, I don't agree with their facts. And so I'm going to use the government's power to shut down or regulate that particular media outlet. If you don't like their facts, then you have to contest their facts. If you say, well, I can't contest their facts, well, then you've got to come up with a better media system, which, you know, a lot of people have been trying. I don't know if it can be done. It's like herding cats trying to get conservatives to stand together. But that's the way you do it. You don't regulate people because the first voice that will be lost will be Rush Limbaugh's. The government has got to stay out of business. We didn't like it when Barack Obama was getting us involved with business on green issues, starting to get involved with GM. I lost $1 million. I canceled a General Motors contract. I was doing live commercials for General Motors. Do you know how long people waited to try to get General Motors onto talk radio? I canceled that because I was uncomfortable with General Motors getting in bed with the federal government. The federal government has nothing to do with our jobs. Less regulation. How is it the president is inserting himself in almost everybody's personal life? It's not just this guy, it was the last guy and the guy before that. Stay out of our lives. You know, and here we have these guys dying in Niger, and we don't even know the rights that they're fighting for. What are we fighting for? Truth. Well, the president says what NBC reported the other day was not true. I mean, you had people in his own cabinet that were part of that story. I mean, it looked pretty true. And if it's not, sue them.
Well, he can't. I mean, you know, look, they may have been sourced well, but they were mainly unnamed sources. The president of the United States is not going to sue NBC News. And
yeah, but that's what it's for. The president shouldn't. The president shouldn't. But, I mean, geez, the press is not more powerful than the president of the United States. Stop. How is the most powerful man on the planet all of a sudden a victim?
Well, but this is how he handles that, right? His way of handling when he gets what he feels is a raw deal is to tweet about these things. Unfortunately, he's not grounded in the Constitution enough to think that that would be inappropriate. I mean, he got hit by Rush Limbaugh. That was, I think, a related issue when it comes to the NFL situation.
Yes.
He was hit by a few talk show hosts and such yesterday. But we'll look at that and say, wait a minute. The First Amendment is important not just to liberals. It's important to everybody. It's important to all of us. And the mainstream media, who is now all of a sudden on the First Amendment bandwagon like crazy that Donald Trump is president, now they love it.
Yeah, they love it. And
they were
don't think we're stupid. We know when their guy comes in, what's going to happen. Their guy is going to say
talk radio.
Talk radio's got to go. They're just filling it with lies. We need to regulate the internet. Because how do you know when people are... No, we don't regulate people. We don't license people like that. We don't do that. This is America. And unless we stand together on the Constitution, we'll have zero credibility to be able to make the argument. We should be the ones who are the loudest in defense of this. But if you looked at the media from the right yesterday, there was barely a mention of this.
Yeah, I mean, a lot from the mainstream media, but not the other way. It's interesting,
and that's
too.
Wrong.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people get caught in that trap of, well, the mainstream media is really annoying. I mean, they're actually really terrible to
us.
Yeah, they are. And they beat us up all the time.
Yeah, they are.
And all of that is true. However, it's still protected speech. And the concept, the principle of the First Amendment is way, way more important than some, by the way, meaningless article from NBC that did nothing. It was yet one meaningless article where they said he saw a chart in a meeting. And I know the chart he's talking about, which shows the nuclear arsenal of us versus the Soviet Union, now Russia, and how you see the increase. You see Russia gets ahead of us after a while, and they have a few more nuclear weapons than we do after a long decrease. And he said, well, why don't we have more? We should have 10 times more than them. Now, even if he said that, it's, you know, could easily be taken as an offhanded comment, not actual policy.
Who cares?
Exactly. It's the reason it was reported. It was supposedly the conversation that led to Rex Tillerson calling him an effing moron. But even that is not confirmed that it's true. The point here is that this is meaningless nonsense that is so far below what he should be caring about right now. And instead, he not only attacks them, which to me is pointless. You want to do it? Fine. Okay, whatever. But I understand it. But then to go and attack him in a way that is not factually accurate, they don't have a broadcast license, and it is also against the Constitution. And can you imagine what would have happened if Barack Obama came out and said, I'm taking away the license
of Fox.
Of Fox News Channel. Now, of course, they don't have one, so he would have been wrong on that. He certainly was critical, but he never went anywhere close
to doing that. Do you remember how upset we were when they just said, turn Fox off?
Yeah.
When we were so upset, how dare you turn Fox off, turn on Al Jazeera? We were crazy.
Yeah. Now, he did.
He's saying we should look into the license of this, and the tweets from the right are all the same. They're all the same. They're all saying the same thing. Well, so you're for lies. No, I'm not for lies. I'm not for lies. That's what a libel suit is for.
Right.
That's what the court system is for.
When it comes to the president of the United States,
people
are going to say things that are not true.
Yes.
Like, he knows that.
Yes.
He knows that. He's said things many times. He's even said...
Should we look at his license when he said that Ted Cruz's dad was part of the assassination attempt of Kennedy? Come on,
and
man.
At the end of the day, what he says there at the end of that is like, look, it was a campaign and we all said he did things. And
we
that's the
it.
Same thing with NBC News now.
Yes.
Just blow it off. Who cares what these people are saying about you? Who cares? I'm fascinated about how into this he gets.
I know,
I
don't think that's the story,
and I don't think it's real either. To be perfectly honest about it, it's really terrible for Donald Trump as the president of the United States to be basically saying, the First Amendment for sources that I don't like doesn't really apply. Secondarily, I don't think he means it. I don't think he's going to take any action on it.
He's just stirring it up.
He's just stirring it up, and I just think it's pointless. I'd much rather be focused on something that actually matters. You know,
The reason why I brought it up so many times today is because there aren't a lot of people talking about it on the right, and we should be leading the charge. Are we the constitutionalists or not? You cannot cede ground on this. You are the constitutionalist. You're the one who's supposed to stand up and say, wait. We stand, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution, the First Amendment, gives me five rights. And one of those five in the First Amendment is free speech, freedom of the press, that the government cannot do anything with freedom of the press. To me, that means even licensing. Now, they got around it because FDR was so paranoid and he wanted to make sure that he could control the broadcast during the Great Depression and the Second World War, that they came up with the FCC and the free airwaves that belong to all the people. That's how they got away with it. Well, that's not the case anymore. Cable, internet, unless they start to regulate that. And believe me, they will. They're licking their chops to do it. What do you think all of this stuff with Facebook is? What do you think that is?
Net neutrality?
Well, yeah, they can't control it. They can't control it. We need the government to come in and control. We need to start licensing people. Do you think I'm going to get a license to broadcast on the internet? Do you think you're going to get a license to broadcast on the internet?
You think Trump would have had one before he was president? How does he become president? How does he become president without these freedoms? He doesn't. That's how he was able to speak his mind freely, and he won him the presidency. These are important freedoms. It's why it's in the First Amendment. It's not even like the 90th Amendment. It's number one.
With a bullet for a reason.
Glenn Beck.
All right. So, you know, this week we've been talking about Harvey Weinstein and, you know, the sexual harassment of women and everything else. Listen to this one. The Halloween costume industry is offering a new outfit called the Sexy First Lady costume.
The Sexy First Lady costume.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the Sexy Model Wife or the Sexy First Lady costume.
Hmm.
Okay, so...
And that's okay.
You know, that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. That's totally fine. Can I ask you, when did everything at Halloween have to be sexy? These are some of the costumes.
As soon as I showed up.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Try this. The sexy Melania. Okay. All right.
She is a supermodel, so...
Will he help you look like Melania? Okay.
No.
The sexy skunk.
There have been some hot skunks. People underrate them.
Really? Yeah. The hot skunk.
Yeah.
Okay, the sexy skunk. The sexy pizza costume.
That one I agree with wholeheartedly. Every pizza is
That's
a sexy
not really
pizza.
A costume.
No.
That's just fully clothed, totally naked underneath, whatever. Is there a pizza on you? Bring it on over. I mean, that's not really a costume. That's a food.
That's why it's so sexy.
Yeah, I don't understand the sexy vampire.
That's been big the last few years, right? With Twilight and all that nonsense, right? Isn't that a sexy vampire thing?
Yes, I don't know.
Can't say that I saw any of the films.
Sexy Mangala. What else are we coming up with? There's some things that just aren't sexy.
Yeah, it's weird to combine the sexy with the scary. Because, I mean, all these creatures. I mean, a vampire is someone killing you and sucking your blood.
Yeah, right? Ooh, but they're hot.
But they're really sexy while doing it. So,
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Joining us now in studio is the one and only Pat Gray.
There's actually another one of me. He's a realtor. And
you're actually very upset because
really,
he has... Because
he's confiscated all the Pat Gray addresses everywhere.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
This is a real thing?
It's a real thing.
Did you know that only realtors can be members of the National Association of Realtors?
And I think it's so discriminatory.
Mm. So you remember this guy, and I don't want to get into names because I don't know why this guy is so hepped up on this, but there's a guy, remember the guy who who said that the, you know, was there, people were claiming he was saying the world's going to come to the end.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago.
The numerologist?
Yeah, the numerologist. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we apparently, I guess you or somebody tweeted out the wrong guy, same guy, different name, like the real estate agent with you. Okay.
Right.
And the guy just got hammered online. And
fairly common thing that happens in 2017, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he got hammered online, and I guess by the end of the day or something, he had his attorneys calling us and telling us that we were smearing him and his good name was
God.
Okay. But you ready? The guy was, I think, like a psychic in England. And it's like the psychic is worried about the numerologist giving him a bad name. Come on, man. Anyway, Pat, what's on your plate today?
I'm really concerned. I know you guys have been talking about it some today. I'm concerned about the NBC threat by Donald Trump. The president threatening to have their license revoked if they don't start saying things he wants them to say. That's incredibly dangerous. And he doubled down on it today. Network news has become so partisan, distorted, and fake that licenses must be challenged and, if appropriate, revoked.
No.
No.
They shouldn't.
First of all, the networks don't have licenses, so that's fake news but in and of itself. You could go to the individual stations.
Yeah.
And you could revoke licenses.
But you know what this leads to?
Yes.
You know what this leads to? And listen, do you remember how upset I was after talking to Ted Koppel? And what was why was I upset talking to Ted Koppel? Because he said, you know, all the stuff, like Alex Jones, all this stuff, you know, and he puts Sean Hannity into this category. All this stuff, all this fake news and everything, it's got to stop. Well, how do you do it? Well, you know, we've got to start licensing journalists.
Really bad.
Really bad. Because do you think I'm going to get a license? Do you think Pat's going to get a license?
No.
Do you think people who have your point of view are going to get a license? The answer is no.
And how many times do you have to say, your guy is not going to be in office forever? We all know that. So the next guy's not going to want us to have a license. And in fact, when Obama used to rail on Fox News, but at least he never challenged their license or their ability to broadcast. He just talked about how partisan they were. But if Obama had suggested this against Fox News, people would be apoplectic. They'd be going out of their minds right now, and rightly so.
So everybody is
saying, we got to do the same thing on this.
I know, but everybody is saying, well, so you're for fake news? You're for the lies? They're spreading lies.
It's just, but you can't. Who's going to be the arbiter of what's fake and what's real? Who's going to do that? That was the same thing with Facebook. Everybody wanted them to start deleting fake news. Well, do you want Facebook to decide what's fake and what's real?
Look what's happening with
Twitter. How much of our websites, how much of our Facebook pages would be deleted?
Do you remember the federal government, about halfway through the Obama administration, remember we got calls from people who were in the Pentagon or something that said that theblaze.com and glennbeck.com had been cut off.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Because somebody in the government institution said, nope, you can't listen to that.
Yeah, you don't want this. You just don't want this.
And this is obviously, you need to take this, whatever you think this right stance is, you need to take it for both presidents, right? If you think Trump is okay doing this, you need to be okay with the idea of Obama doing it. And we shouldn't give a pass to Obama. He did. You're right. He was very critical of Fox News. He said people shouldn't watch it. They should watch other things. Yeah. He also did use his legal apparatus to go after individual reporters that
more
he didn't
so than anybody else in history.
Yeah, I mean, he was not good.
But
we stood up
too.
Against him on that.
Yeah, they're both wrong.
Yes,
and you know, it's hard because I mean, even the mainstream media was upset back then a little bit when they went after even Fox reporters. I mean,
a little bit. Yeah.
But it should be complete outrage like they have now. They're all, it's the lead of every mainstream broadcast right now about how Trump's going to shut down the First Amendment. Now, in reality, do I think he's going to try to do that? Probably not. It's probably one of his big talking tweet type
Hopefully
of things.
Not.
But still, it doesn't matter. It's just like when, you know, if the president were to come out, if Obama came out and said, well, I'm going to restrict all these guns and he didn't actually make a move, you'd still need to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
Because look, just nobody, so the mainstream media knows, all these amendments are supposed to all be important. Like, they're all offended about the first one when their rights are going away. The second one's also important. You should be fighting for that one, too. And the third about quartering soldiers in your home. That's not should not be allowed.
Here's the problem. People don't know their rights, they don't really care about them. And, you know, if they can't learn about their rights on Twitter, then they're not interested. And so by him saying this, it creates the illusion to people on our side that the president has a right or a responsibility to request that. So even if he didn't have any intention of doing it,
he shouldn't be even suggesting.
No.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't accept this suggestion and say that it's okay. Look, there is at least two generations that don't have any idea of what these rights mean. You're dealing with 54% of millennials now saying that the government should restrict free speech. Anytime a conservative talks about restricting free speech, you've got to shut it down and stand up.
No
you
question.
You have to.
Yeah. Did you guys see this story of the congressional pharmacist? The Congress has drugs hand delivered to them every single day by
that
some.
That explains a lot.
How heavy are they?
So it's a really long article and a big expose about how, you know, they're so privileged that they have the office of physicians or something that they go to and are treated for $500 a year or something, and then they have this service where the druggist comes to them and delivers. But what was more shocking to me than the fact that they have that service provided and that's a really nice perk for Congress was the pharmacist said some of the things he's delivering, like Alzheimer's medication. Isn't that something Americans should know about if some of our representatives are suffering from Alzheimer's? We should know about that, and that person should honestly, and look, I have enormous sympathy. One of my greatest fears is contracting Alzheimer's. I saw my dad suffer with some form of dementia at the end of his life. And so I have a lot of empathy for people who are in that situation, but you can't be governing this country if you're losing your mind.
Wow, right? That's incredible.
Why? The next thing you're going to say is you want somebody to regulate a pilot. A pilot has Alzheimer's, and you're like, he shouldn't be able to fly.
Yeah.
Who the hell are you?
Yeah. The pharmacist's quote was like, yeah, it's a little concerning because we don't even know if they can remember what happened yesterday. Yeah, that's a problem. As he was talking about, these are the people who make the highest laws in the land. Nobody's even talking about that. Huge expose came out yesterday.
Wow. With who? I didn't even heard that.
I think it was in the New York Times.
That's amazing.
I'll have to look at the
It would actually
source.
Explain
I wonder
a lot.
Who that it would.
Yes,
I
it really would.
It would. It would.
And you wonder, we've talked before about, I think there's something seriously wrong with Nancy Pelosi. I mean, I don't know that she has Alzheimer's, but she could be in the early stages of something. She's pretty damn confused on a regular basis.
Harry Reid,
Harry Reid was another problem.
Yeah, Harry Reid. I think Harry Reid had a problem.
I think
maybe that's why he got out.
I think Orrin Hatch doesn't have Alzheimer's, but I think he's not connected very often.
No, that's true.
To things.
Yeah. Of course, he's got Kennedy disease, too.
Kennedy's disease? What's that?
That's when you start agreeing with Ted Kennedy.
Oh, okay.
Because you're good buddies.
There's no cure.
Yeah.
There's
no cure for that.
It's terminal. All right, a couple things going on. The president's just signed an executive order that was really Rand Paul influenced to what they claim will open up the markets for Obamacare and allow you to buy some things that will be cheaper programs for your family.
And I think a lot of the audience might hear the word executive order, the words executive order, and get scared of that. And, and that is the right reaction.
Yes.
However, in this case, I really don't even think this is an executive order. The way this thing actually works, it's a law that's already in place and has been in place for a long time. And what it does is to allow, let's say, a large company, right? Your IBM. And you can do your own healthcare system, your own health insurance system with all your employees, right? So you have groups of people that have similar characteristics that can be grouped together. And that was a way to make it so, you know, these big companies can do it themselves and they're not going to be overregulated. This has existed for a very long time. It's not often used. And the reason why it's not often used is because Obamacare didn't exist and we had health insurance that actually worked. So this entire time, what they have done is look at these associations, these health associations. You know, if you wanted to do one at this company, like we would be associated. We both work for the same company and we could get under the same insurance plan. But let's say instead we interpreted that to say the Glenn Beck Health Insurance can cover anyone who's a big Glenn Beck fan, right? That is what Trump is doing. He's saying, look, the way we're, and Rand Paul as well, have been associated, we've been looking at these associations has been in these really strict ways.
That's fantastic.
Directly under a company. Now it can be, let's say, all NRA members would be able to get on the same healthcare plan if they just if the NRA
That's
chose
fantastic.
To do it, right? And then they would not have to be held under these.
It's like AARP.
Right, exactly. AARP is another one. And so you'd have this thing where you'd have people who would be able to get this health insurance outside of the Obamacare restrictions, which is the main thing driving up all the crazy cost. Now,
so you could do, like, for instance, a very healthy group of people, strangely, because we eat more chocolate and ice cream than anybody else on the planet, but are the Mormons. They live an average of like 10 years longer than average person.
That's a root beer, too, if I'm
not mistaken. Yeah, it's root beer. It's like all the stuff.
Funeral
that,
potatoes, which are delicious,
it's
by the
crazy.
Way.
But anyway, but I would imagine if Mormons could put together a healthcare system, it would probably be a lot cheaper because for the most part, Mormons are healthier.
Yeah, that's that is also, because you're right, it's all that's the benefit of it. It's also the criticism of it. What the left is saying is all those healthy people, like, you know, healthy Glenn Beck is, all those healthy people like Glenn Beck.
I'm a latecomer to the party.
Yeah, it's true. That's what happens when you're a convert. When you have all the healthy people are going to band together, they're going to get really cheap insurance.
Then
where does that leave the sick people is the argument. So the sick people are no longer subsidized by force of law.
No, if they would get into the program, they would be into the program when they're healthy. And then they'd be taken care of when they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to get health care once you're sick, it's kind of sucks. That's not insurance then.
Right. It's not insurance. You're just paying for something that you already have. So the argument here, though, is that it's going to blow up these exchanges because the people who are healthy are going to leave the exchanges.
Yes, of course.
And the people who are not healthy are going to be forced to stay and not be accepted into these arrangements, depending on which one they are. And the rates for the people remaining are going to go through the roof and they're going to get screwed. That's the argument against it. Now, I believe this law should have been interpreted this way the entire time,
yeah.
And probably would have if there was a real problem like this that Obamacare has
so
created.
What is this done? Because the law was already there. So what does this do? This just clarifies that it can be done that way?
Basically saying, like, this is how we should be looking at this. It's essentially what he's saying.
So it's not even really an executive order.
It's not an
order.
Executive order. It's like, to me, it's like it's an interpretation.
It's an executive recommendation.
Right. It's not even like ignoring a law. Like Obama came in with DACA and was like, hey, you know, these kids, they're illegal, but I don't think they should be illegal. So let's not go after them. Let's not enforce that part of the law. Let's give them a way out of it. Right. He did a bunch of that while he was president. That's not what this is. This is the law's in place. This is what it does. These associations have been interpreted to be very tight in the past. However, there's no indication. If you look at the way when they passed this law, look at the way that they talked about it, they intended them to be much easier than the way it's been interpreted. So I think it's actually returning to the original interpretation of this. And I think, like, people will look at Rand Paul as a guy who's probably one of the more constitution-focused people in our government in many ways. He was a guy pushing for this. And, you know, he's not a guy who's a fan of executive orders.
No, he hates them.
But this is something that I think is just a logical interpretation.
See if we can get him on tomorrow.
Yeah.
He was standing right behind the president. The president handed him the only pen that he used to sign this. So this really came from Rand Paul, and I trust him and would like to hear more about it from him, hopefully on tomorrow's program.
Glenn Beck.